من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual right, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'd, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion. And every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind them, because a reminder benefits the believers. So today, insha'Allah ta'ala, we were welcome to come down here and to give you a reminder of Islam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Insan gives us a reminder as He says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا إِنَّا خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ إِمْشَاجٍ فَنَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلَ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, Surah Al-Insan or Surah Al-Dahr gives us a reminder as He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Does humanity remember a time when they weren't even thought about? Does mankind remember a time when they weren't even thought about? Before your creation, before your mothers and your fathers and your grandfathers, if you can think back 100 years or 200 years, you weren't even thought about. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went on to say, indeed we have created humanity or mankind from a drop of a mixed fluid. Then we tested him and we gave him hearing and sight. Then we guided him to the path, and among them are the grateful or the disgrateful or the ungrateful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is calling us to remember a time when we weren't even thought about. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and gave us hearing and sight, and all of the faculties that He has given us to live in this world. And then He has guided us to the path we're either going to be grateful or ungrateful, and that path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us to is that which He said when He said, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَن سَبِيلِهِ. And this is my path, the straight path, the Siratul Mustaqim. I command you to follow it, and don't follow any other path, as those paths will divide you from my path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and guided us to the religion of Islam. Alhamdulillah. And then He reminded us, وَكُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. And every soul will taste death. And every soul will taste death. Allah is calling us to remember a time when we weren't even thought about. And then to remember that we were created. And when we were guided to the straight path of Siratul Mustaqim. And then to know for a certainty that there will come a time when each and every one of us will die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informing us of that which will happen after our death, He says, وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. And indeed, the last hour is coming. There is no doubt about it, and Allah will raise up or will resurrect those who are in the grave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He has ordained for humanity death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also ordained that after our death, we will be raised up, we will be resurrected. وَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَهْ نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He informs us that we will be raised up from our graves, He says, as for the one whose deeds are heavy, as for the ones whose scales are heavy with good deeds, then they will live a pleasant life. And as for the ones whose scales are light, light with good deeds, their abode is the Hawiyah. And what will make you realize what is the Hawiyah? It is the blazing fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we are reminding you today, is reminding us that the deeds that we do now will be weighed on the day of resurrection. وَفَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. A group of people will be in Jannah or in paradise, and a group of people in the blazing fire. This is the reminder that I want to remind ourselves of today, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to remember a time when we weren't even thought about. When we weren't even thought about. When humanity wasn't even created. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and gave us life, gave us hearing and sight and the intellect. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested us with death. And then after our death, we'll be raised up. And when we're raised up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call us to account for the deeds that we did in this world. And then a group of people will be in Jannah, and then a group of people will be in the hellfire. This is the basic principle in life that we should keep in our minds. All of us know it. We need to be reminded of it, so that we can fulfill our purpose in life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has detailed very clearly in the Quran, as He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. Allah makes it very clear to us as Muslims that our purpose in life is to worship Allah. Just as the people who came before us, their purpose was to worship Allah, as Allah says early on in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O humanity, I command you to worship your Lord who has created you as he has created those before you in order that you may be God-fearing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't left us alone, blindly wandering on after he has given us our life and warned us of the death and warned us of a time when we'll be raised up from our grave and held accountable for what we did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us our purpose in life, and that is to worship him. La ilaha illallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he has set this boundary for us, this reminder for us, this purpose in life, to worship Allah, that we have only been created to worship Allah, that we have only been given our sight, our intellect, and our hearing to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have only been given the chance before the last hour to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when that hour comes, and there's no doubt about it, there'll be no chance to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The deeds will be weighed in the scales, and then whoever scale is heavy with good deeds, then they will enter Jannah. And whoever scales are light with good deeds, then they'll enter the hellfire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people of Jannah and to save us from the hellfire. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us our purpose in life, which was the purpose in life for everybody who was created, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his prophets and messengers to humanity proclaiming, Ya qawmi, i'budu allaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayruh. O my people, I command you to worship Allah. No God has the right to be worshipped other than him. This was the message of all of the prophets and messengers to their people. O my people, worship your Lord. Worship your Lord. Worship Allah. No one has the right to be worshipped other than him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he has set this limit, this boundary, he showed us exactly how we are to worship him. As he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدَخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدَخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the boundaries set by Allah. This is the limit set by Allah. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, we will enter him into Jannat, gardens underneath which rivers flow, abiding therein forever. And that is the greatest achievement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to worship him, just as he has commanded the people before us to worship them. And that we have only been created to worship Allah. Allah shows us that worshiping him is by obeying him and obeying his messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that whoever does so has achieved the greatest achievement by entering the garden, by entering Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored up for those who fear him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to show the other side, as he says, and whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger and transgresses the bounds, then we will enter him into the fire, abiding therein forever. Oh, what a humiliating punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he often does in the Quran, he shows us the way to Jannah, to the garden, and he shows us the way to Nar, or the hellfire. He shows us how to get to this path, how to tread this path to get that reward, and he shows us what path will lead us to that abode. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us the path to Jannah, and that is by obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger of Allah. And he showed us the path to the hellfire, and that is by disobeying Allah and disobeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that this theme of obeying Allah in obeying His Messenger is a very important theme, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in more than 70-some verses in the Qur'an is constantly reminding us of that which He reminds us and commands us, as He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. O you who believe, I command you to obey Allah, and I command you to obey the Messenger, and don't render your deeds invalid, and don't render your deeds null and void. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, if we believe, to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger, and not to render our deeds invalid, that we may see, it may appear to us that we are doing some good deeds. It may appear to us that we are doing some good deeds. But if those deeds that we do aren't in accordance to Allah or to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then those deeds will be rendered invalid. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in a verse in the Quran, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And we took a look at what they did from their deeds, and we made it dust particles scattered about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is referring to the deeds of those people who do not believe in Allah and His Messenger. To those people who do not obey Allah and His Messenger, the deeds that they do in this life will be rendered useless in the life to come, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us to account for all that we do in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another verse tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. O you who believe, do not decide an affair in your lives until you know the decision of Allah and His Messenger in that affair, and then fear Allah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear to us that we shouldn't tread any path, that we shouldn't hold any belief, that we shouldn't make any statement until we know that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for us, and that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded for us, and then we are to fear Allah. This is to fulfill our purpose in life by obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we don't hold any belief, that we don't make any statement, that we don't practice anything until we know the decision of Allah and His Messenger in that affair. And then if Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has decided in an affair, then it is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It is not proper, it is not befitting, it is not right for a believing man or a believing woman, when Allah and His Messenger has decided an affair, that they have a choice in that affair. And whoever obeys Allah and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has gone clearly astray. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger, that we shouldn't do anything in our lives until we know the decision of Allah and His Messenger. And then when the decision of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to us, we don't have any choice in that affair. We don't have any choice in that matter. Rather, we say that which the real believers say, as Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse in the Quran says, and the statement of the believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger to decide between them, their statement is only, we hear and we obey, and they are the successful. This is the statement of the believers when we are called to fulfill our purpose in life by obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we say, we hear and we obey. Every day we remind ourselves of our purpose in life and that which we should be fulfilling as to please our Lord, as we say every day, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. When we make that statement, that testimony every day, we're testifying that we believe in Allah and we believe in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're testifying to the fact that we obey Allah and that we obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our statement, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is the statement of the believers. This is the fulfilling of our purpose in our lives by obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This reminder is to remind us that there used to be a time when we weren't even created. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with life. And then He guided us to the path. And then He told us that there will come a time when the hour will come and we will all have to taste death. And then after that death, we'll be raised up. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh our deeds. And if they're good, then we'll have our way to Jannah. And if they're bad, then we'll go to the hellfire. And that's the way we fulfill this purpose in life, by worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is by obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the fulfillment of the shahadatan, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Kahf, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever desires to meet his Lord, whoever desires to meet his Lord and to be happy with meeting his Lord by being rewarded with Jannah and being saved from the hellfire, then let him work righteous deeds. Then let him do good deeds. And those good deeds are the deeds that Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last prophet and messenger to humanity, has explained to us by his authentic sunnah. And this is what is meant by Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Then Allah goes on to say, and let him not ascribe any partners in worship with his Lord. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That we don't hold any belief, that we don't make any statements, that we don't perform any acts of worship until they're done sincerely and solely for the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in accordance with the religion of Islam, the religion that the last prophet and messenger of Islam brought, the religion of al-Islam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This day I have perfected for you your religion. I have completed for you my favor to you. And I have chosen for you Islam, al-Islam as a deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us this path of Islam and showed us how to worship Him by obeying Him and obeying His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm just calling you, as I'm reminding myself, to this purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us in our lives. But to fulfill that purpose, we have to take in mind that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in an authentic hadith reported or collected by Imam At-Tirmidhi, where he says, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is incumbent upon every Muslim. Seeking knowledge is incumbent upon every Muslim. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I command you to question, to ask the people of dhikr when you don't know. When you don't know something in this religion of Islam, you have been commanded to question those people who know. Those people who know the dhikr or the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, referring to the Quran and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah says, مَا آتَاكُمَ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the Messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he prohibits you, stay away from it. وَمَا يَنْفِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. And he does not speak on his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to seek knowledge. Is commanding each and every Muslim to seek knowledge. As he commanded us in the Quran to question the people of dhikr when we don't know. So that knowledge that we are to be seeking is the knowledge of the Quran and the knowledge of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can worship Allah by obeying Allah and obeying His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can you obey Allah and how can you obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when you have no knowledge of that which Allah has commanded you? When you have no knowledge of that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded you, how can you obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any knowledge? And if you don't have any knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can you fulfill your purpose in life of worshiping Allah? How can you desire the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored up for the believers if you don't know how to worship Allah by obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If you don't have any knowledge of the Quran and knowledge of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes it very clear to us that we have been commanded to seek the knowledge of this religion. As he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُبْغِضُ كُلَّ عَالِمٍ بِالدُّنْيَا جَاهِلٍ بِالْآخِرَةِ. Allah subhanahu, Allah ta'ala hates everyone who has knowledge of this dunya, of the worldly affairs, and is ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter. Here Allah subhanahu, here the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Hakim in his history book, shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates someone who has knowledge of these worldly affairs and is ignorant of the hereafter. So the knowledge that we have of engineering, the knowledge that we have of carpentry, of auto mechanics and auto body, and whatever knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed humanity of in this world, if you're ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter, then Allah hates that knowledge that you have. Allah is only pleased with the knowledge that we have after we have the knowledge of the hereafter. As the purpose of living on this world is to obey Allah and His Messenger in order that we may tread the path that will lead us to Jannah and to stay away from the path that will lead us to the hellfire. If we only have knowledge of engineering, if we only have knowledge of computers, if we only have knowledge of medicine, how are we going to get to Jannah? How are we going to save ourselves from the hellfire? How are we going to save our children from the hellfire? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, I command you to save yourselves and your family from the hellfire. How can we save ourselves from the and our families from the hellfire if we don't have knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah? If we don't have knowledge of that which will lead us to Jannah and save us from the hellfire, how can we ever desire the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored up from us and to hate to enter the hellfire if we don't have any knowledge of that? Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi is commanding us to obey Him and to obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we have to seek knowledge first if we're going to command them. And knowledge always comes first, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And I command you to have knowledge of لا إله إلا الله. I command you to have knowledge of لا إله إلا الله. We have to have knowledge of this statement that we testify to every day. We have to know who our Lord is, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we know Allah by His names and His attributes. Because if we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Wadood, if we know that Allah is the merciful, the most compassionate, the forgiving and the loving, if we know that, we can be happy to desire the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for those who worship Him. But we also have to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shadeedul iqab, sari'ul hisab, dhul quwwatil mateen. We also know that Allah is severe in punishment, that He is quick to take account, that He is the firm and the strong, al-azizul hakeem, the mighty and the wise. We have to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in order that we fear Him. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Indeed, the only people who fear Allah from His servants are the ones who have knowledge of Him. Are the ones who have knowledge. The only way that we can fear Allah is by knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And the only way that we can know who Allah is by seeking knowledge. By seeking the knowledge of this religion. And the only way that we're going to seek the knowledge of this religion is by going to the masjid and sitting with those people who know the religion of Islam, so that we can know the religion of Islam, so that we can worship Allah as He ought to be worshipped and not die except as Muslim. We have to learn the religion of Islam. We have to take some time out, not just for our children to learn Islam, but we have to take time out to learn Islam so that we can save ourselves and our families from the hellfire. And that knowledge that we have to seek isn't the knowledge that they're offering in the universities in this country, unfortunately. Or in the universities in the world, for that matter. But we have to learn the knowledge of that which is in the Book of Allah and that which is in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can fulfill our purpose in life. It's nothing to be praised to have a doctor's degree in a particular field of engineering or nuclear physics or something like that. How can you be praised for having that if you don't know how to worship Allah? People can be praised if they're illiterate, if they don't read and write, so long as they know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huwa alladhi arsala. Could I see someone's Quran? Subhanallah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in a few verses in the Quran, as He tells us here in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. He is the one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sent His messenger to illiterate people. The companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they didn't graduate from university. They didn't have the knowledge of these worldly affairs. They were illiterate people. But Allah sent His messenger to them to recite them the verses of the Quran and to purify them. To purify them to the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لَنْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. And all of them we have given al-husna. And all of them we have given Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the companions of His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Jannah. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu wa sallamu alayhi and the authentic hadith collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim says, خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. That the best of humanity is my generation. That illiterate generation. And then those that follow them, and then those that follow them. Illiteracy means nothing. The degrees mean nothing, so long as we don't know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first, foremost thing in each and every one of our lives is to know the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we can be rewarded with Jannah and we can be saved from the hellfire. As this is the purpose in life for every human being. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is just a brief reminder of that statement that we make every day, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And to know that we have to seek knowledge of what is in the Quran and what is in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we can live the shahadatan in our lives, so that we can be among those people who Allah is pleased with. So we can be among the people who Allah is pleased with. I'm just reminding myself, and I'm reminding you all, that there used to be a time when we weren't even thought about, when we weren't even created. Rather, when our parents weren't even created, or our grandparents weren't created. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us life from that little drop. That little drop of ma'an dafiq, of that water that gushes out, known as sperm. And then Allah has given us the faculties of hearing and sight and the intellect to make us questionable for what we do in this life, because we all have to taste death. And then we're going to be raised up after that death. And then Allah is going to weigh out the deeds that we did in this world. If our scales are heavy, we'll be given our book in our right hand. And we'll be among the successful who Allah will reward with Jannah. And if our scales are light, because of the heavy bad deeds that we have, we'll be given our book behind our back in our left hand. And we'll be among the losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to worship Him. And He has made this the purpose of life. Not to get a degree, or to own a particular home, or to be respected by the people in our society or in our communities, but He has made our purpose in life to worship Him. And that we fulfill this purpose by obeying Allah and obeying His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that we can't fulfill this purpose if we don't have any knowledge. And that knowledge that we have to have is the knowledge of the Book of Allah and the knowledge of the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that we can fulfill our purpose in life and be among the people in Jannah and not among the people in the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us benefit from this message. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us mindful of that which we are reminded of. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us fulfill our purpose in life of worshiping Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us worship Him as He ought to be worshipped. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Jannah. Oh Allah, we ask You for Your Jannah. Oh Allah, we ask You for Your Jannah. Oh Allah, save us from the hellfire. Oh Allah, save us from the hellfire. Oh Allah, save us from the hellfire. Oh Allah, we ask You for the good in this world and the good in the hereafter, and to save us from the hellfire. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And our last dua is الحمد لله رب العالمين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And we have this Sahaba. And the Sahaba who come to spend time, full time, for Islam.
Yes.
But I think that we provide them also with a means of life, means to survive, a means of income. Right. And now, in our life here, we have to provide this means of life for ourselves and our family. And that's why we have to have some knowledge of this world, or this, you know, engineering or this ending, because there is no a collective provider or something to our family that we have 100% time, but so we do some priority, the work and the Islamic thing. You know, yes, we are giving the Islamic things much less time, but we are in the world more time. So, if I see that there will be a group of people that they can be provided by the means to fight for Islam and to 100% times, like Qarn Rasulullah, the time of Allah, the people of Allah, then we will not, you know, persuade our kids to be doctors or to be engineers or to be this, but there is nothing of that kind. You know, and then I have to focus on myself and my children and my parents to know some engineering and things like that, you know. At the same time, you know, prayer and the Quran and things like that. What my question is that, you know, we can't be just all of us, all of us, and only know about Islam, because someone has to provide this ulama with the means of life, the means of survival.
Yes. Excuse me if I led someone to believe that I was discouraging going to school and learning engineering or carpentry or medicine or what have you, but we wanted to keep it in light of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna Allah ta'ala yubghidu kulla 'alimin bid-dunya jahilun bil-akhirah, that indeed Allah ta'ala hates everyone who is knowledgeable of the worldly affairs, ignorant of the hereafter. Meaning that if you only know engineering but you don't know how to worship Allah, you'll be among the losers. All of us, myself, I went to school, and I think most of the people, everyone has to have a trade, as we have to provide for our families. I think most of us, we're men and we're married and we have children, and we know that we have to provide a living for our families, and that we shouldn't forget our portion of this worldly affairs. But we don't overlook that our primary purpose in life is to worship Allah, and that we should satisfy that purpose and to always make sure that we're fulfilling that purpose, and then secondarily, we go to seek the knowledge of these worldly affairs so as to provide for our children, because we know Allah is Ar-Razzaq, that Allah is the provider. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed, He could have tested all of us in this room with poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qawi, the powerful, and if He wants to, He could have taken anything from us that He wants to. We only go to work, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides for us. And that if Allah didn't provide for us, we wouldn't have provided. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an example saying, أَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّتِي تَشْرَبُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ لَوْ نَشَاءُ جَعَلْنَاهُ أُجَاجًا فَلَوْلَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Don't you see the water that you drink? Do you bring it down from the sky? Or does Allah, or do we bring it down? If we had chosen, we could have brought it down as salt water. Won't you give thanks? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one out of this water that we take for granted is to allow us to provide for ourselves. If Allah had changed it and brought this water down, what would the knowledge of engineering and carpentry and whatever do for us if Allah doesn't give us water? If Allah makes the water come out of the sky, salt water, so that all of the plants and animals die, who would live? We have to remember that our purpose in life is to worship Allah first and foremost, and that should be our primary concern and our major concern for us and our children. If we have taken care of that, then we take care of the secondary affairs of providing for our families and learning the knowledge that we need in this life. But the reason why I try to focus on the part of the deen as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focuses on, as to make engineering and carpentry and medicine as if it's not even important at all, because everyone is going to take his concern with the worldly affairs. You don't have to encourage someone to earn a living. He knows that he wants to eat when he feels that hunger. He knows naturally he just feels competitive to compete with the people and to learn and to be among those people who know. and everyone desires to have a wife and children and to provide for them. You don't have to remind him to go to work. No one has to be reminded, excuse me, you have to go to work today. No one has to be reminded of that. But many of us, because of the beautiful things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us with rain and water and sunshine and houses and all of this that Allah has provided us with, sometimes it becomes an illusion for us, and it distracts us from our major purpose in life of worshiping Allah. Sometimes we get tied into going to work and working overtime and buying and providing for our children so much that we forget, wait a minute, have I gone to the masjid 35 times this week as Allah has commanded me? To establish the salat with the Muslims? Have I read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today and yesterday and every day? Or have I taken this Quran mahjura? Have I taken this Quran as something to just be placed on a high shelf and never to be read? Do I know the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We have been commanded to obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do we have Riyadh al-Salihin or Gardens of the Righteous, the book written by Imam al-Nawawi with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah in it to teach us to be sincere, to teach us to be truthful, to teach us to be God-fearing, to teach us to stay away from lying and cheating and stealing, to teach us to fast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, to teach us to make salat to Allah, to make hajj, and to make umrah for Allah's sake, to teach us to be Muslim. Do we do that every day like we go to work every day? Do our children do that every day like they go to school every day and like they play every day? No one has to be reminded, no child has to be reminded, go outside and play, Ahmed. He's going to play, he's a child. No man has to be reminded, go to work, because if he doesn't, how is he going to provide for his family? But many of us need to be reminded to read the book, Gardens of the Righteous by Imam al-Nawawi, so that we can soften our hearts for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. So that we can know the etiquette of the Muslim, to eat with our right hand, to say Bismillah, to eat with that which is closest to us, to give the salams to the Muslims that we know and to the Muslims that we don't know. These etiquettes of Islam, to put on our right shoe first and to take off our left shoe first, to walk into the masjid with our right foot first and to walk out of the masjid with our left foot first. Do we know how many sunnah rak'ahs are before Fajr? How many are after Dhuhr? Do we know what days we should be fasting voluntarily? And how do we fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan? Sometimes these affairs are overlooked from us. Do we know that we're supposed to love for our brother what we love for ourselves? People, these issues and affairs of our deen, do we know these? Are we concerned with them? And do we spend as much time with these affairs, the affairs that will get us to Jannah and save us from the hellfire, with the affairs that will get us a paycheck every week? We want to put the emphasis on that which the emphasis to be laid on, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the emphasis when He said, Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O humanity, I command you to worship your Lord who has created you and those before you in order that you may be God-fearing. Are we mindful of this purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? This is what we had intended from our reminder, inshallah ta'ala.
Any other questions? Anybody else?
Allahu ibarak fi. We thank our brother Salman Sheikh for inviting us down to talk to you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank all of you for coming here. And after you came here, I realized that some of you live right here and some of you are my neighbors, in fact, and I didn't know. So it's as much my fault, whereas I take my share of the blame, inshallah. But I would like to inform, especially those who live over here, we have a school here every Sunday from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And we have about 100 children here, about 7 levels of classes. And this is what you see here is more like a parallel session we're trying to encourage for adults, inshallah. Also, for those in the area, Salatul Jummah is offered in Homdel, in the AT&T building in Homdel. So, especially those who are here, please let me know. We can start by and I can give you more details, inshallah. Also, Friday prayers in Port Monmouth, and then also in Monmouth Medical Hospital. So there are at least 4 or 5 places in the area, but the closest one to here is the one in Homdel. So inshallah, most welcome, and please come again and again.
Assalamu alaikum.
When the brother will come again, we have a point.
Can you possibly make it like one Sunday of every month, like first Sunday or second Sunday, you pick which one is good for you, and come like every first Sunday of the month or every second, whatever you like, inshallah. Is it possible?
I was really honored to come down here today, and because of the brother Omar, we make salat together in the masjid. But I don't know if I'm able to come every Sunday. But
so once a month, like first Sunday of every month.
Even that, I don't know if I'm able to commit myself. But whenever we find the time, as today, one of our meetings was canceled, so I had the opportunity to come down today. But it's not that every Sunday or even one Sunday of a month. But whenever we find the time to come down, inshallah ta'ala, we'd be the first ones to come down.
And the reason really is, you see, you'll soon see when the kids come out, we have a lot of children here, alhamdulillah, but the parents are not so involved. But when we have good quality of like this, I'm hoping inshallah over time that more and more of them will show up and benefit. So we need people like you to wake up the people here, inshallah, so that they are more enlightened. So I know you have your commitments, but maybe if you are not there, then Brother Omar can come also.